Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing our Friday program. Tom, that weather forecast continues with more rain, 50% chance into next week. I have not seen a monsoon or summer thunderstorm season like this in a while, quite a while.
Sort of like we're having to make up, or Mother Nature is trying to make up for what she's done to us in the past.
And there is a lot of making up to do as we are in this 20-year-plus drought. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We thank them for their title sponsor of our studio, our Friday show. It's the 16th of July, 2021. Our radio station is 1030, Tucson's trusted source for news talk. The call letters are KVOI, The Voice. We are 10 and a half now years into the radio project. We have our worldwide live listening podcasts on my website, buckmastershow.com, and an archive that really goes back to the first week of January 2011. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Friday, we like to do a thank you to some of our media friends who support us every day. They put prominently display a link to my website, TucsonSentinel.com. We thank Dylan Smith and his team over there. We thank Dan Shear, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. Dan is with me in studio today. Dan, thanks for your support. It's been 10 and a half years since we launched the radio project.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to be on board early on.
Yeah, you were. And you were with me also over on the TV show.
Absolutely.
On Channel 6 for many years. Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, Jim Nensel over at the Tucson Weekly. They also have the Inside Tucson Business, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. With me in studio, our Friday Focus interview, we welcome back to the program David Godleski. David is the president of the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. David, it's been about 6 months. We have so much to catch up on. It's great to have you back with us.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Bill.
Dan Shear is the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. He's the editorial director for 24 newspapers that group keeps. It actually keeps growing, I guess.
It does.
This is a Sierra Vista-based communications company called WIC Communications, and they specialize in smaller town papers, where really the impact in the small town is people still want to know local sports. They want to know, who's been born, who died. But I mean, it's basic stuff.
It is. And then you have big issues, too, because a lot of the big metros have contracted to the point they're not even covering the small towns anymore. So you're it.
David, let's get right at it. The home buying and selling market, as we all know, Tucson is certainly up there. I see different surveys showing we're in the top five. It's a red hot market, and some people are getting discouraged and saying, you know, maybe I'll wait at this point. How has this translated into your neighborhood, into your business, home building?
Well, Bill, I think you nailed it. It is a red hot market right now, and we've seen tremendous growth in home building for the past, 15, 18 months. And I think that Tucson has a housing market that's going in the right direction in many ways. And I think there are a lot of communities that would like to have the type of growth we're seeing through home building, as well as that resale activity. I heard an interesting statistic yesterday that if you look at the month of June, and take into consideration the new home as well as resale transactions, as a community, we bought about $1 billion worth of homes just for the month of June. So you are seeing a tremendous amount of activity in the housing market right now.
It's so interesting that you say that this all started 15 to 17 months ago. That kind of coincides, David, with COVID. And I want to know what maybe your theory on why would it suddenly take off during that period?
Well, you saw year over year increases in 2019, 2018, 2017, but they were fairly measured, kind of low single digit increases in the amount of single family permits. And then going into the pandemic, and I was certainly someone who was looking out at the future of the market last late March and April and going, holy cow, are we looking at another recession? Are we going to see the type of situation that we did in 2008? And in fact, in many ways, the exact opposite thing happened.
But you were ready for the bottom to fall out.
I personally was, I think, your first personal
feeling.
Yeah, it was. And looking and hearing from the builders and the level of traffic that just, fell off the cliff and seeing the government shutdowns and so it was very concerning for the first couple of months, and then when we started to see, the May's sales activity, and just going like, holy cow, this is not what I certainly expected, and it just kind of has kept going from there.
Dan, what about your area? Red hot for real estate?
Absolutely. We look at the housing permits, of course, and building permits, and those are huge. And we've just got a lot of construction going on right behind my house, as a matter of fact, and which is okay. We expected it. So you say that things are heading in the right direction, yet the median price, I know in Tucson, is well over $300,000. Isn't that starting to price a lot of people out of the market? Is that a positive thing?
So there are always going to be affordability challenges. And if you look at the median new home price in the past year, it's gone up about 15%. That's certainly on a percentage basis, much less than what we've seen in terms of the resale pricing that's gone up at a much more significant percent. So in many ways, I think the builders have done a really good job about trying to make sure that they're trying to meet the needs of the buyers at multiple price points, including entry level. But absolutely, I don't think there's any doubt that there are certain segments that are going to be challenged because of these increased prices. But so far this year, we're at about a 43% in year over year increase in permitting activity. So obviously, there are certainly a lot of people out there who think it's a great time to buy and get into that new home.
And pulling permits at that kind of rate, Dan and David, that's almost unheard of for our area. That's a lot, 43%.
It certainly, I don't have the numbers from what it was in 2004, 5, and 6, but definitely in the past, 10 to 15 years, we haven't seen anything like this. And so really the question is one of sustainability. Can this pace continue?
Right. Go ahead, Dan.
A lot of people are blaming the skyrocketing housing prices on people from California. Everyone has this impression that they are carrying bags of cash over here and paying cash. And that has to be happening to a point, but really it's not responsible for the bulk of it, is it?
I wouldn't think so. I haven't taken a deep dive into the numbers, but I've certainly heard anecdotally from some of our builders that they are seeing people who are coming in from California and in the Pacific Northwest as well as other places who, at the onset of the pandemic, the lockdowns in some of those communities were much worse than they were here. And so I think, Tucson, with its environment, with its quality of life, is perceived to be a great destination for home buyers. But no, the California activity, I wouldn't say, is the bulk of the cause for the increased home building.
I'm wondering, you pull these permits, but you've got to have land to build. And we don't talk about land. I mean, a builder is not going to, where are these buildings going up? And is this, so you have to buy the land first, or how does that work?
Land is another.
It's not talked about. It's like it's under the radar. People just think, well, there's another development going up, but somebody had to sell the land to them.
You're absolutely right, and I think that's when you're looking at the activity, and where the homes are coming out of the ground today. In many cases, that land was purchased, you know, 18, 24 months prior, if not longer. A lot of these places, and as we continue to grow, we're going to be moving into communities that may have been planned pre-recession, and now the market's finally getting to that point. And so that certainly makes it difficult, because obviously if you're a land owner and you see what's going on, you want to command a premium for that parcel. But if you're the builder and it may be 24 months before that first home is built, or, you know, 36 months, if not longer, before that community's closed out, you don't know what the market's going to be like, 36, 48 months in the future. And so it's certainly that land side of things is challenging.
Driving from Tucson to Phoenix, you've got now even places like Red Rock are having these residential developments. I can remember where when you would get on I-10 to drive up to Phoenix, basically you'd have some building activity in Casa Grande, and that would be it. But we're almost getting to the point where for years, decades ago, and Dan, you remember this, they talked about the I-10 corridor from basically the Tucson center of influence to Phoenix, and there would be a merger of that happening. It's almost like it's happening now, David.
It's certainly, wild to see. I know that Red Rock was a place that kind of was launched kind of at the tail end of the last housing boom and was fairly dormant for a number of years, but there has been a tremendous amount of activity lately, and it's also you're seeing the Phoenix metro area is just growing at such a tremendous pace, and the amount of jobs that are being created there. And so that's where, you know, it's not surprising to see Pinal County continue to grow. And I saw the headlines just this week that I know there seems to be some renewed interest in rail from Tucson to Phoenix. So I do think that corridor is going to continue to see growth.
You said the home builders have done a good job offering an array of housing, including affordable housing. Can you define what affordable housing is and tell us specifically where you would say there is any affordable housing going up in Pima County?
Yeah, I think that the definition of affordability is a moving target, and I think that's one of the things that we've not done very well as a community is define affordability and looking at the population segments and what their housing needs are.
It's a good question. What is affordable?
And typically in kind of the academic sense or the policy sense that I've been engaged, it's 80% of area median income. And so if you look, there are places in the southeast and the southwest. Even I think to a certain extent there are places in Marana that are more affordable to others. And that's, you know, one of the things that we've not touched on is the regulatory impact on housing and the importance of making sure that we're creating opportunities, or certainly not restricting builders' ability to build vertical, to build dense. And certainly if we're able to do that, I think that's going to help in some regards on the affordability front as well.
Do you want to say a price point generally affordability? You mentioned some areas, but I think, Dan, you were thinking, what would the price point be, right?
And it does involve how much they're making. There's some math involved here, and I fully get it. I think what I was driving at also, though, was how much multifamily housing is going up. We're talking apartments or condos or, you know, townhouses, that type of stuff, which generally, you know, if you're out in Vail and you're in one of these, or Sahuarita, Rancho, you know, you generally... You don't want apartments near you. That's just the truth. So how is that going?
I can't speak to specific numbers about multifamily. Most of, if not all of our members are traditional single family construction. But my understanding, I think there is increased multifamily activity, whether it's catching up with what the demand, I can't speak to that.
All right, we'll take our break right here. No, we're not going to take the break right here. Okay, we're going to keep going. So, did you have something else, Dan, about affordability?
I actually want to see how the we talked a little bit about during COVID how everything went, and I'm curious because we've talked to churches and bars and gyms and all this about how were you marketing during COVID? How was a new home marketed if I couldn't walk through it? Was there some lessons learned during all of this for the industry?
I'm glad you asked that question. I think that that's one of the biggest things that the builders have had to deal with is reimagining that sales process. We had a number of builders who had to rethink what that sales experience was going to be like and make changes. Some builders did all virtual walkthroughs. One builder even had where there was a code on the model home doors where you would let yourself in essentially and do a walkthrough and not
really
have a face-to-face interaction with a sales agent. And then there was a follow-up, that occurred virtually. So they definitely had to adapt and adjust. And I think a lot of those things are going to stick with us even as we move through the pandemic.
The regulatory environment, we need to talk about lumber because everybody's been hearing about lumber. Is that situation with the supply chain working itself out, David?
We're certainly seeing some positive indicators that it's starting to move in the right direction. But you said it's really a supply chain issue. I was talking with a builder today, and I said, "Hey, I've seen some of the headlines that lumber pricing seems to be better. What's been your experience?" He said, "The reality is it hasn't changed from what I've been paying." So I do think it's going to keep going in the right direction, but it will take some time before it actually affects what a builder is paying kind of on the street for the lumber.
Go ahead, Dan.
Amenities in a home, because everybody's been working from home, a lot of remote and stuff. So what are home builders being told people want now as a result of COVID or just in general? What's new?
Well, there's been a renewed interest in that kind of, mudroom, laundry room type of concept where you can come in from the outside and be able to, change and have your laundry and things like that. Home offices, which at one point were a thing of the past, are starting to make a comeback. I've heard anecdotally that certain builders are trying to get creative in terms of how they integrate, technology into certain rooms of the home to be able to better accommodate, Zoom or Teams meetings or those virtual types of setup. So there certainly have been some adjustments in that regard.
How about the labor situation?
So labor was a challenge. It's been a challenge for a long time, particularly here in southern Arizona. And so this has only exacerbated the labor situation. And again, the question is of sustainability. And you're seeing, builders have to make sure that when they tell that buyer when their home's going to be done, that they can deliver on that. And so they have to be very cautious and very measured in the pace of their sales. They don't want to overcommit and underdeliver, and labor is certainly a big factor in that. It is in some regards a limiting factor, and so we just continue to need to find ways to try and attract new people into the construction industry as a career.
We had a listener wants to ask you a question, sent me an email just now about apartment rents. They're sky high. Are we having apartments? Are they being built, the multi-residential dwellings? And you already pointed out most of your members are pretty much the traditional type. But what are you hearing about the apartment sector?
I am hearing that, the price increases are, you know, also, you know, you're seeing those increases on the rental side as well. And so I think that's when you, you know, taking a look at the value, you know, kind of your monthly payment and what you get for a new home compared to what you could get in a rental situation. I do think, you know, buying a new home is still, you know, competitive with renting, especially where rental prices seem to be going right now.
Folks, if you're wondering why didn't we take a commercial break, we took a power outage a little bit. So we have a complete system reboot that is happening behind the scenes here. And so we're going to keep going for a little bit more before we take our first break of the show. So here's Dan Scheer again from the Green Valley News.
I want to go back to the labor situation. We own newspapers in several markets, and we've seen things like mining or oil or whatever, and people being lured or hired away. Are we actually seeing construction crews being lured off of certain sites for a few more bucks an hour? Is it that competitive and that cutthroat?
Absolutely. And anecdotally, I've heard it's not even a few dollars more.
Yeah.
And so that's the, you know, that's the challenge, is that there are, you know, if there are, you know, increases from, you know, one builder to the next or one project to the next, it's hard to, you know, to see why a tradesman would turn that down. But I do think if just kind of looking long term, and I think, you know, this year we've seen tremendous growth in permitting, and in the next year and the future years may not be the same pace of activity, but I do think it's going to be steady. And so I think that we will see you know, labor stabilize to a certain extent, and it won't be so cutthroat as it might be today out there.
All right, we are going to take a break. Everything is back up on the computer system. We're keeping our, Tom's got his fingers crossed. We'll see. So we'll take the first break of the show, then we'll come back for a few minutes, closing remarks with David Godleski, who is the president of the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. Okay, Tom.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line is courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The president of the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association, David Godleski, is with us again. We try to get David on the program at least every 6 months. So much has been happening in his industry. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. And Saba has really a rich history in this community, doesn't it, David?
Yeah, we've been around since 1953, and continue to be active in different aspects of building our community into a better place, both through the new homes our members build, but also the community programs and charity work that we do.
What about the home shows?
Home shows is another highlight. Do both the spring and fall show down at the TCC, offer homeowners and renters an opportunity to go and check out hundreds of different exhibitors and all the different types of products and services available to them.
Were they on hold during the COVID?
We did not do an in-person home show in 2020. We had to cancel our spring show. We did a virtual show in the fall. I thought it went well, having to try and put that together on the fly, but it certainly wasn't anywhere near the type of show that we do in person. We were very fortunate that we were able to get this year's spring home show done in person and had a really strong showing despite, you know, still having some public health challenges with it.
I know a lot of people are remodeling, Dan.
Absolutely. Home Depot was doing very well.
Try getting a plumber out to your house these days. Go ahead. Here's Dan Scheer.
We have two community facilities districts in Sahorita. One of them, traditionally, the developer would put in the streets and the sewers and all of the infrastructure and then give it to the town. Now they're saying, hey, we really can't afford to do this, so they're taxing the homes that will go up there in our case, and I know they're all a little bit different. So the people who are buying the new homes down there are going to pay roughly $100 a month extra than the rest of us in town because they are paying for their own roads and everything. Community facilities districts, there are about 50 or 60 of them in Arizona. Do you expect this to be the trend, or how are we going to pay for that going forward if the developers say they can't?
I don't expect it to be a prevailing trend in Southern Arizona. We have seen a couple of them come online here in the region recently. Essentially, it's an alternative, financing vehicle to put in necessary public infrastructure. Again, whether that's developer financed, whether it's financed through impact fees, financed through community facilities districts. Our preference is, we would certainly like to see a lot of different options, tools in the toolbox, so to speak, to be able to fund infrastructure. Infrastructure is expensive, and it's going to be, an ongoing challenge. Anytime you're building roads and parks and the other facilities, there's a significant cost with those.
In commercial real estate, we've seen some offices and whatever that are steel buildings. They're kind of these prefab things. They put them there, and then you can make the outside look how you want, and they actually look pretty good. We have a couple of them going up in Green Valley right now. Why can't we do that for homes, and would it be cheaper, or is it just wouldn't work?
I think we can certainly do it for new home construction. I think we should be taking a look at all types of alternative housing types and building materials. The challenge is when you're talking about the building codes and local zoning and other architectural type of regulations or restrictions. So I think that's, you know, oftentimes I think those existing neighbors may be a little reluctant to see that type of alternative house next to them. But as you just indicated, there are ways to get creative to make sure that they blend in. So it's certainly something that we'd be supportive of trying to take a look at our code and regulatory environment to try and create different opportunities.
Downtown, trying to get more residents living in the downtown area. Is Saba involved at all with that type of housing?
We certainly promote all types of new housing. Infill is going to be important to the future of our region, whether that's downtown itself or in the adjacent areas. We participate in numerous long range planning exercises to try and encourage infill development, transit oriented development, and I think that's going to be the future. People want to live closer to where they work. They want to live closer to restaurants and shopping. It's in a healthy housing market. It requires a balance of, urban, suburban, and rural housing opportunity.
All right, David, we're going to let you go. I appreciate you coming in with an update on our red-hot housing market, really all phases of it. David Godlewski, thank you, David.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Hope you have a great weekend. All right, Dan Scheer will stick around. We're going to talk a little bit about Dan, about, several items that we have on the table for you in the Green Thing Zilkalo Village Studio. Buckmaster on a Friday continues right after this.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Yes, we took a power hit, but I'm telling you, this is somewhat of a crazy, not somewhat, it is a crazy summer thunderstorm season. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News is here, and we're just talking off air about some of these. You've had tree damage, like... Everywhere else around town.
You know, we should preface this with the fact that we were told it was going to be a pretty dry monsoon.
Yeah.
And it's not. Not where we are. It was just in pouring rain earlier today down in southern Green Valley. And so we had something hit Saturday night. I saw the winds coming in. It was during the daytime. You could see everything. And the wind was sustained 45 miles an hour and then gusts of up to 60 or even more than that. And you're seeing just everything blow by you. And because as we were just talking, we have a lot of construction going on. You're talking plywood and sinks and all sorts of things just flying through it. So the bottom line is that nobody was injured down in our area, which is really nice, good news. But hundreds and hundreds of trees down. And so a lot of them are just toppled. They just kind of come over, you know, because a lot of them have these shallow root systems. So we went to our expert and said, okay, can we replant these?
Can
so
they be replanted?
They can with a lot of care, and it involves watering it a particular way. And then, of course, you have to make sure that it's set in there, and you want to get an expert to do this, of course. And we talked to some folks and who know what they're doing. And so a lot of them can be, but there's just there's some things you have to look for. But, that's what people want to know at this point is, can I salvage these things? We had one that was probably it was a South American. Was it a South American mesquite, I believe, and it was 40 feet high, and I believe the canopy probably had to be 80 feet across, and this thing had been in the ground for decades. So it came down. It's not going to be salvageable.
Then there's the whole issue of saguaros that go down and other types of cactus, and you wonder, can those be salvaged?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a lot of those, and of course, those are heavy and they can kill someone. And, you know, I believe that when they're all pumped up with water, it's 100 pounds per foot of the saguaros. So these things are very heavy and dangerous. And so now with the ground being so soft, you have to be very careful about them tipping because they have notoriously shallow root systems also.
Your area is getting at least some, I've seen estimates up to 5 to 6 inches.
Yeah, I have heard that, particularly over in the McGee Ranch area, which is a little west of us. And then last week we had two tornado watches, I believe they were. One was near in the Three Points area and then another one further west. And so this is not stuff that we are used to. And so we get a lot of stuff coming up from Mexico and oftentimes it will disperse even before it hits Tucson, but we'll get it. So last year, of course, was very dry. This year, we're excited for it because we all need the rain. And so no one's going to dispute that. It's just the wind that can really hurt you.
New York Times had a piece about Chief Magnus, who's going to be taking over for the Border Patrol, Immigration and Customs. And there's still no date for his testimony. I guess the head, there was a hearing for the gentleman who is going to be head of the Border Patrol. He's he's already had his, but nothing for Magnus. And they go into some of the controversy around Magnus in this New York Times article. Are your readers still very much interested in the border and immigration?
Yeah, absolutely, because we've seen so much activity going on down there. And, of course, we have two newspapers right on the border, Douglas and Nogales. And
the Nogales paper, Nogales International, is part of your portfolio.
Absolutely, yeah. And they do a terrific job down there. But we have seen, you know, a lot of immigrant activity and a lot more through our area. And so we've been talking routinely to, you know, some of these agencies and just what's coming through and a lot of sightings from people. When I came down here 12 years ago, it was there was 1,000 apprehensions a day in the Tucson Border Patrol sector, which is the bulk of the Arizona-Mexico border. And that was that's notable. We're not up to that, but we're getting an awful lot of people through. So, oh yeah, huge interest, and we'll see. It'll be good to have someone in there who had worked somewhat close to the border, and we will see how this goes. But yeah, it seems like it's a very slow process.
Well, I remember when you were on the television show with me on Arizona Illustrated, and we had at the time Congressman Colby would be our guest frequently,
yes.
And we would be talking about those border checkpoints
right.
in Green Valley. When did they go away?
Right. Well, we still have one just north of Tubac, of course, on I-19, and that one technically, I think they call it a tactical, which is supposed to mean that it moves, and it's off the grid. It does not have any electric to it. It uses all generator, and so, but it's permanently, you know, there, and then they have one on Aravaca Road. Now, currently, the one on Aravaca Road does not have staffing at it because they have pulled a lot of people off to go down to the border, and I think also I take two different routes to Sierra Vista, and those also have checkpoints, but they're not, they haven't been staffed for a while. That's pretty much all I'm aware of at this point, and we'll see when the staffing gets back there.
Speaking of the TV show, I remember when we had then-Supervisor Ray Carroll with us on the program, and it was 2007, maybe 2008, and he said, there is this new mine that's called Rosemont Mine, and it's going to be a very, very big deal. Well, here we are. Look at how many years later,
yeah.
In 2021, we're still talking about Rosemont Mine.
Well, and Ray Carroll was right. It is a big deal, and it's gotten a lot of attention, and Save the Scenic Santa Rita's, which is a activist group that has opposed it from the start. And then, of course, Augusta Resource owned it at that time, and now it is owned by Hudbay. And
out
now,
of Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Correct. Yeah. And Hudbay has our attention for another reason, and that is they recently announced that they're going to be doing some mining on my side of the Santa Rita's. The Rosemont project is on the east slope. This is on the western slope where we would be able to see it from Green Valley and Sahuarita, and they could have up to 4 open pit copper mines. They have been very transparent with us thus far. We just asked last week that they have purchased about 443 acres of private land over there. If you are a mining operation, the best neighbor to have is yourself. And so they're buying up this land because they don't want to cause problems for people and don't want problems as they move forward. But this is called the Copper World Project. It's about 1,800 acres right now, and it is big, and it's coming, and brace yourself. So that's what's going on now. So Hudbay and their Rosemont operation is almost been knocked down on the priority list for us because of what's going on here.
But it sounds like the footprint, Dan Scheer, if you take the Rosemont project and this new one, what did you say, Copper World
is what they call
Copper
it.
Copper almost sounds like it's an amusement park.
But it's not.
But this is a large footprint.
But whether or not it
will all be built out, who knows? Right?
Yeah, and you know, they're saying that they have the models on their website, and you can go in and see, and that's what they're throwing out to investors and everything. And, yep, it's for real. It's a question of exactly how deep and when and where they go. But I believe it could be as close as about 10 miles to Quail Creek, which is a frankly, an upper crust development in our area that's kind of out toward that. So, yep, you're gonna see it, and they have made no bones about it. But one, this land has been mined for 100 years, And two, it's private property and they can do what they want with it. Now, obviously, they have to jump through a lot of regulatory hoops and everything. And it's going to be years before this gets going, but it is their land.
We were talking about home building in your area, which is really booming. What about sustainability and enough water for these people that are going to be occupying these homes?
Well, and you know, of course, the rule, they have to prove that they have a 100-year water supply for this. And boy, that's a big question. But I'll throw this at you. People know that we have about 100,000 pecan trees down where
we are.
Yeah,
how is that going?
Well, that is a, they've always called that like a 40-year project to get rid of the pecan trees and replace it with about 19,000 homes. That's the last number I heard. I don't know if it's changed, but I'll tell you this, 19,000 homes will use a fraction of the water that 100,000 pecan trees do. Now, you and I will never live to see this whole thing out, but come out, but I will tell you that the Walden family, which owns that land, has been very careful and methodical about how they're rolling this out, and they want it to be done right. But that does give you a sense of what agriculture takes as far as water goes versus residential.
The Walden family, do you know how many acres they have to sustain? I believe you said 100,000?
Yeah, it's around 6,000 acres, and it's in Green Valley and Sahuarita. So that's roughly it. And we've had some, you know, sold off for other projects already in the past, but nothing, you know, huge. But they have been very generous in donating land for a high school, for a road realignment, for, you know, various things like that. So they love this area, and they are going to do it right. And so we'll just have to see how this thing rolls out, though. But I will tell you right now, those pecan trees are just absolutely gorgeous to drive through.
I bet. They must ship all over the world for their pecans.
They sure do. They had a real rough time when there was the tariff wars and everything. Mm-hmm. They're bouncing back a little bit, but it's been a long few years for them.
All right, Dan Scheer, always a pleasure. Thank you. Dan, we're actually going to keep it with you a few more seconds because as we are getting our computer system back up, it only takes a few seconds, Dan, with a power. hit or surge. I think something went on with TEP, but it kind of took us off the air for only a few seconds, which is good that it's not sustained, but it did kind of knock our computers off. You know, we mentioned at the beginning of the show, smaller town newspapers, they're doing pretty well generally, aren't they? A part of the WIC group, at least your group.
And as you alluded to, that we're growing, and we did buy a second newspaper up in South Dakota earlier this year. I visited it. It's in Madison. It's in Madison, about an hour outside of Sioux Falls, mm-hmm. and a beautiful little place. And it is my assistant editor is now the editor at the Peer paper. Peer is the capital
of
South Dakota.
I remember that from my grade school, learning the state capitals.
But it's really off the beaten path, and it's a very small town, 15,000 people, but it's got the state capital right in the middle of it. But we're doing well as far as the newspapers go, and just fighting the same challenges that everybody else is, just trying to find that next big thing and how to sustain these newsrooms. But we're doing pretty well. We're hanging in there.
And you would think it would be pronounced Pierre.
Right.
But they say Pierre.
And they will correct you. It's like Prescott, Prescott, uh-huh, you know? And uh-huh. So they will correct you. So it's Pierre, South Dakota. And I believe it's one of four U.S. state capitals that is not on an interstate.
Mm.
For a little trivia there. But beautiful state. Been there several times for WIC, and just love it. And there's so much more there than Mount Rushmore.
All right. So. Tom, are we ready? We're not ready. So we're not ready with our commercial break. Let's see. I may get creative here, Dan, and I may go to Weekend Watch. Dan, you hang with me, okay?
Sure.
While we're waiting for the commercial break, I think I'm going to, in fact, I know I am. Matt Russell, is Matt with us, Tom? Matt, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Well, we're kind of doing some freelancing here because we had a little bit of a power surge, which kind of screwed up the computer system and our commercial load. So actually, we are ready with the break. Matt, we're going to come to you for our traditional open with Weekend Watch right after this. So hang with us. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. All righty then, time for Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Oh my goodness, the Gila National Wilderness looks so good with all the rain over there. Temperatures are quite cool, which is very nice. 81 right now over in Silver City. Start your planning right now or just hop in the car this afternoon. And on the way over, just Google southwestnewmexico.org to start your planning. Matt Russell is the longtime host of Weekend Watch, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist, a guy who loves a good meal. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Nice to be back with you, Bill.
Time to party, my friend.
Absolutely. You know what? You know about my longtime love for our 50th state.
Oh,
tomorrow,
yeah.
Tomorrow afternoon from noon to 5, we can get our island fixed without leaving town. AZ Hops and Vines, one of the great wineries down in Sonoyta, Elgin area, they're going to be hosting a luau with Hawaiian music and hula dancers and Hawaiian-inspired cuisine, all the layout, and of course some local wines that are perfect for summertime sipping. They're also going to be hosting a Hawaiian shirt contest, so pick out your loudest from the back of the closet and throw it on for this fun luau at AZ Hops and Vines tomorrow.
Throw some garlic in there.
Yeah, you better believe it. You know, Mission Garden, they grew a lot of garlic this year. I mean, a lot of garlic. Tomorrow morning from 8 to noon, they're inviting us to a garlic festival. It's going to be lectures and demonstrations by local garlic gurus, cooking classes, demonstrations. Local celebrity baker Don Guerra of Barrio Bread is going to have some garlic sourdough bread that he's made. That's all happening from 8 to noon tomorrow as well.
Hey, is it time for National Ice Cream Day, Matt Russell?
It's actually on Sunday. What a coincidence. My tip this year, everybody has chocolate. Everybody has vanilla. Check out Hub Ice Cream Parlor downtown. You're going to see some creative flavors like honey lavender and Caribbean coconut. One that got my attention, chocolate whiskey. Of course, I'd have to make it a double. A double scoop, that is. Hub Ice Cream Parlor is really ready to celebrate National Ice Cream Day. I know I am.
What are you writing about on Inside Tucson Business?
Well, Bill, a local restaurant's summer survival strategy has been revealed formally, and its roots date back more than 9 decades. You can read all of the delicious details in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a great weekend, and I can finally say, stay dry, my friend. It's good to say that, actually. Have a good one.
Indeed.
All right. Thank you, Bill. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music by our German friend, Christophan. What a talented young guy. My assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Thanks, Rose. Everybody here at KVOI, including my engineer, producer, Tom Fairbanks. The entire team at Bustos Media Tucson. All of us together have the same wish for you. We hope you have a beautiful weekend and stay safe and try to stay dry. Have a good one.